This evening in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, if you would stand with us, and you can and are able, we're going to honor the reading of the Word of God. Ephesians 5 and verse 1, there Paul's writing, he says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." We dealt in last week this verse 3, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as become a saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger or unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God on the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." I like verse 16, "redeeming the time, because the days are evil." We got a lot of catching up to do. We that live for the devil a long time, I think we ought to do more for Christ than we did for the devil. Somebody say amen right there. Now, if you could go and you could shout in the honky-tonks for the devil, surely on Sunday you can shout for Jesus. Amen. Redeeming the time. And then he says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Verse 18, what I'm going to preach out of tonight. "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Thank you for standing this evening. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the good day you've given us here at our church. Lord, I want to thank you for these young'uns that sung tonight and how our heart is rejoiced. God, thank you for that. Thank you for the mom and daddies that are bring them. Lord, thank you for these that are work with them. But Lord, tonight I pray you'd help us in this teaching hour. Lord, would you bring things to my remembrance that I've studied? And Lord, would you bring things up in my heart, Lord, that I could be a blessing to your people tonight? I pray you'd open our ears, our minds, and our hearts, and let us receive your word. Help us now, and we'll be grateful to honor you and thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're continuing on this thought of Bible Christians. If I had a thought tonight, it would be a Spirit-filled Bible Christian. Now, we noted last week in Ephesians 5, a little background, we said in verse 1 and 2, to be a Bible Christian, we must show sacrificial love. Aren't you glad that Christ died for you with the ultimate sacrifice? And I want to say this tonight. Christ didn't die for the community center. Christ died for the church. And so we ought to have a church tonight that Christ would be magnified and where Christ would be exalted. And certainly we've seen that there's a great sacrificial love of being a Bible Christian. And then in verse 3, there's a sanctified law. Here Jesus said to avoid some things. It's still all right to be a Christian that's doing right tonight. You used to hear old-timers preach out of this passage a lot, but it seems like it's been put on the back burner. We're humans, and we're wrapped up with flesh. And I want to say tonight, I want to be the first one to tell you as your pastor, the flesh will get you in trouble. And sin is a pile of fun for a season. You know, the old prodigal went out the hog pen and he went to the far country. It didn't take him long to spend what he had, did it? And boy, thank God a lot of us have been like him. He came to himself and he went back to the Father's house. And so I wonder how he got back down to the Father's house. I can tell you how, honey, because he had the light on. Thank God when we was out yonder, Jesus had the light on him. We can make our way back to the house. So he come to himself. And I don't know about y'all, but Honey, I'm going to tell you in Ephesians 5, there's a lot of things there that is very fun that involves the flesh. But the wages of sin is death. And the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Be sure your sin will find you out. And so, certainly we talk of a sacrificial love, then a sanctified law. Jesus said, if you're going to be a Christian, live like a Christian. I think we ought to talk like a Christian, act like a Christian, and look like a Christian. But even though when we fail, ain't you glad we got a God that we can pray to? And He said we'll confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You that's just got saved, you know what? If you live long and Jesus tarries His coming, you're going to sin. Matter of fact, you probably sin today. But boy, I'm glad there is the blood of Calvary. Not only washes us white as snow, but can forgive us white as snow. I thank God for the forgiveness of the throne of grace tonight. And I want you to be careful to always remember this in Ephesians 5. Don't point your finger at somebody and say, I wouldn't do that and I wouldn't be there. Because, honey, a man after God's own heart found himself in some places he wished he had never frequented. Samson, the strongest man in the Bible, found himself down at the prison house with his eyes put out. You better watch this thing of sin. This thing of sin's dangerous. This thing of sin is awful. And none of us are hid from it. So we better learn how to walk through this world without doing a lot of it. Amen? And so that comes by sanctified living. And it comes by Holy Ghost preaching. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if I would have got saved as a young'un and had a man filled with the Holy Ghost preaching to me, I wouldn't have the scars on me I got tonight. And so we're people that are filled with the flesh, we're human, and we have to have preaching and the moving and the prodding of the Holy Ghost to show us when we've done wrong, to bring us to the altar of repentance, that we can cry out to a holy God and by grace He forgive. Ain't you glad of all that tonight? This thing's amazing. It's a sacrificial love. It's a sanctified law. And then we talk about a shining light. Oh, I wonder, have you turned the light on in front of anybody this week? You know something, being a Christian, you don't have to go in a corn crib and sit down with blinders on. You can be a Christian at Longhorn eating a good filet mignon. Amen. Thank God. I like that bone-in 21-ounce myself, cooked about medium. Somebody shout right there. You can be a Christian anywhere you go tonight. We ought to turn the light on and let folk know, hey, you can be a Christian and be happy wherever you go tonight. Folks is watching us, honey. We don't need to be goody-two-shoes. We don't need to walk around with our nose stuck up in the ceiling. We need to have our light on to a lost and a dying world that Jesus saved, Jesus saves tonight. People's watching us. I went to the hospital this week, made a visit, and struck up a conversation with a deer hunter. Left out of there, a man called me and said, preacher, I'm glad you is real. That boy said he's bringing his girlfriend down to where we go to church just cause you real. Thank God for some people that's real. Amen. Thank God for people that'll be real. Too good to sit down on the bench with you. Praise God, I'm glad none of that crowd's here. Amen. I still get mad and throw a fit every now and then. Somebody shake your head right there, right now. I need the forgiveness of Christ. And so we need to have our light on in front of folks, lost and dying. And you know something? A lot of people will never hear your pastor preach, but they'll watch and hear you preach. And they watch and see you preach every day on your job and where you go. They listening to you. They may not never get to come here and listen to the preaching here, but they listen to what you're saying through the week. And I'm guarantee you somebody's watching you. And boy, we ought to have this light on. You know something, Brother Marlin and them, they got a deer locker. And you know, you think about the opportunity there, Brother Bart, Brother Jerry. Think of the opportunities that you boys got. Them old boys that live in a deer stand come down there and bring the deer. And you get to shine the light on. Don't turn around and look at me like I'm crazy. Amen right there. Boys hang out in the woods need to get saved too. And so you can turn your light on wherever you are. Jesus said, let your light shine. Boy, we ought to be letting our light shine. And what should we be shining? The love of Christ. We ought to be letting them know where we was and where we are now. Are we perfect? No. But by the blood of Jesus we are. Thank God we're saved tonight. Save sinners by the grace. That may not do nothing to you, but it does a lot to me. So we see a sacrificial love, a sanctified law, a shining light. But then in verse 18, we left last week on this Spirit-filled life. And I'm going to be short tonight. I want to be down right to the point. Try to get us some help out of the Word of God. I want you to notice this. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, I want to deal with three areas. First of all, the command for a Spirit-filled life. Then I want to deal with the comparison of a Spirit-filled life. Then I want to close with the consequences of a Spirit-filled life. Now watch this. The command is given to save people that have been indwelt by the Spirit. Look in Ephesians 2 and 22. Paul's writing to a group of people that are saved. And in Ephesians 2 and 22, he says, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Ain't that something? God has built you for a habitation of Himself. Ain't that amazing? We're walking around with God inside of us. We better be careful where we're taking Him tonight. And so he's talking to people that are indwelt. Then Ephesians 4 and 30, he's talking to people that are sealed by the Spirit. And grieve not. That means to be sad. Not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. Now this sealing of the Holy Ghost, it's not what many of us have been taught or heard. It's not like a gasket around a door. This seal is a sign that's been put on us by the King. And when this king owned something, he would put his sign or his seal upon it, showing his ownership. And so now we have the earnest of the Spirit sealed by the Spirit. They're about to show us that we are His. I'm glad I got His seal on me tonight. Don't have a Baptist seal, but I got the King's seal on me. And yes, also, once saved, always saved. Once you're baptized in the family of Christ by the Holy Ghost, honey, you are heaven bound. And I thank God for that tonight. And so certainly we see that here he's speaking to people that are indwelled and people are sealed. And then Ephesians 4 and 4, he's talking to people that are baptized by the Spirit. In Ephesians 4 and verse number 4, there is one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So here, I want you to know that what I've covered tonight, if you're indwelt with the Spirit lives in you, then you're sealed with the Spirit and you've been baptized by the Spirit, that's all a sovereign work that is Godward. It's not manward. You could not do any of that for yourself tonight. You had to respond by faith. But let me tell you something tonight. You did not find the Lord. The Lord was not lost. The Lord found you. And the Lord found me and drew us by His grace. And then by mercy, He let us believe by faith to accept what He's done. And He saved us. He came and indwelt us with the Holy Spirit, put His seal on us. And then He's baptized us in the family of Christ. But now, He says, all of that was Godward. And He said, all of that has to do with Him. But now what I'm covering tonight has to do with you. And what has to do with me. He says, be ye filled with the Spirit. I'm convinced tonight the average Christian knows nothing about this text. And matter of fact, it's so important this evening on this command for the Spirit-filled life. I want to say it is an individual command. It's not watch this, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Now note it's a double command. It's a negative and then a positive. He said, be not drunk with wine. Somebody can say amen right there. And some young hardly wait for flu season to come around. go out and get you a little nip. Amen. A double command. It's a negative about be you filled. Now, this responsibility is always upon ourselves and not on God. Brother Mike, I found a verse that absolutely, I mean, I had to rear back and look and see what this thing said. Look in your Bible this evening, the book of Luke, chapter number 11 and verse 13. Luke 11 and verse 13. On a individual command, the responsibility is always upon ourselves and not on God to be filled with the Spirit. Luke 11, verse 13. If ye then being evil, and we are. Somebody say amen right there. Know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? What about that verse? So tonight it is an individual command. And notice this. The word filled could be translated being continually filled or being kept filled. And the reason of that is because of our unbelief, which is manifested in several things. Selfishness, disobedience, unfaithfulness, and other sins that grieve the Spirit of God. We must be filled again and again. That's why it said there's one baptism, but many fillings. We are leaky vessels and often have need of His fullness. The apostles and the early church believers were filled on several different occasions. Acts 4 and verse 31. Acts 4 and 31. Here the Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. I like this. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. That's the way the church house ought to be tonight. I don't see no place in here. Now watch this. Watch what happened. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Great grace was on them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the fifth Sunday night conference's feet. Laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man according as he had need. That's the way the church ought to work tonight. Ain't no biggins, ain't no little. We ought to not have to vote on nothing to do right. How many times have you been raised in a church and you've seen a family that was hurting, something come up, maybe they'd lost a job or something that happened, they needed some groceries, they was behind on a power bill, the lights has turned out, and the church where you was going was so spiritual, they had to bring it up in front of everybody and embarrass that family in order to give them $200 to cut their power. You know what I say? Fooey. I say everybody was on common ground, honey, and if you heard, I heard. Amen. We all pay our tithes, and then God does as He sees fit with the money around here. Boy, you want to embarrass families? They won't never come back to your church. Nobody wants to be stood up from their youngins and saying they can't make ends meet. Ain't nobody's business. I'd sure hate to know I was waiting on a crowd of Baptists to vote me in food on the table. Especially on fifth Sunday night. What you gonna do till then? Somebody say amen right there. So they were filled with the Spirit of God. And if you're filled with the Spirit of God, you won't think you're better than nobody else. They were all filled with the Spirit of God. They said, look what we got, y'all all got. Thank God we can go to church and sort of have that in the day and hour that we live. Amen. Oh, don't look around. I ain't going to take up no offering. Individual command. And then... It's an inspired command. You know, the Holy Ghost said in Ephesians chapter number 5, He said, be not drunk with wine, but where is it? But be filled with the Spirit. You know what the Holy Ghost said? Be filled with me. The Holy Ghost wrote this Bible. And He said, I'm going to tell you what, you'll all do better, He said, if I fill you up. And so certainly tonight, not only is this command for Spirit-filled life, not only is it an individual command, but it is an inspired command. The Holy Ghost wrote it down to help us. And then, now watch this. Not only is it a command for the Spirit-filled life, but notice now there's a comparison with the Spirit-filled life. He uses a comparison, and He uses it with a drunk. Verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Boy, let me show you a verse that hooks into that thing I seen last year preaching. 1 Corinthians, hold your place now, I want to show it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse 13. We read it this morning, but I didn't talk about this latter part of the verse. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, He says, "Not be not drunk with wine, where's excess, but be filled with the Spirit." God placed us in the family. And then He placed Himself in us. There was a baptismal, but now there's a bestowal in that verse. He said, we've all been made to drink of that Spirit. I wonder about people that's had a drink and you can't see it on them. You know, now, it's something how the Holy Ghost compared it. I've seen both of our song men drunk or in a coot on the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen right there. Lord, it scares Baptists to death. Has never seen nobody under the influence of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is comparing it. Be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, if He's doing that, there's a comparison. There's an intoxication by alcohol, and there's an intoxication by the Spirit of God. Now, like wine, the Spirit dominates our actions. The drunk individual is under the influence of another power. Therefore, it's impossible for a person to act normally. One who is drunken talks, walks, and acts differently. Somebody say amen right there. In Acts 2 and 15, watch this early church now. Acts 2 and 15. Baptists are scared to death of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2 and 15. Verse 14, He said, Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice, said to him, you men of Judea and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. What happened? Out of that text I preached out of this morning, Acts chapter number 2, you notice when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they began to speak with unknown tongues. That was not unknown tongues. They spoke with dialecto. They said, we hear every man speak in our own language. The Holy Ghost spake in dialects, and it amazed them. And when them boys got up preaching and exhorting about Calvary, that crowd looked around and said, Lord, they drunk. I wish you'd act drunk every service. Can I tell you, it's okay to be filled with the Spirit and enjoy yourself. Now, He did these similarities with a drunk. Any of you ever been around folks drinking? I know some of them. You can go and raise your hand right there because you was where I was. Amen. I can tell you this, honey, if people get filled with the Spirit and they're drunk, they just love everybody. A lot of them love everybody. Have you noticed that? I mean, they just stagger around. I love it when we have them old squalling wine services, Brother Wendell. And you and Brother Ricky get the neck hugging and y'all get to shouting and praising in a squall. Can I tell you, it's still all right to love one another in the day we live and hug each other and tell each other that we love each other and shed a few tears in this day and hour that we live. He said, if you get filled on the Spirit, He said, I want to give you that great analogy. It's just like being filled, intoxicated with other spirits. Boy, we ought to love one another. You get a drunk man here. You ever notice when a drunk, some of them just love to cry? Boy, ain't it amazing that Sunday morning crowd? God bless them. I just love them. They come in at 11 o'clock and the whole bunch, Brother Bart, looks like we've been tear gassed. What's going on? Well, it's okay to cry. It's all right to be filled with the Spirit. And you know what? What about Brother Donald? He jumps up on the back pew and he gets to saying, "Hooray for Jesus." And Brother Ken, I don't want to take your time. I say, "Brother, no, you ain't taking my time, son. I wish you'd train these people around here to get a good drink." I say you can have joy unspeakable and full of glory tonight. And Jesus is worthy of our praise. Amen. Boy, no drunk, he's just happy, son. He's just happy to be here. And have you ever noticed this? Some of you really need a drink right here. You ever notice how a fella, when he'd get drunk, he'd give all of his money to you. You say, "Can I borrow $5? Oh, no, five ain't enough, son. Here, 10 will get you on down the road. You say, "Preacher, I give $10, son, and it don't hurt. Give 25, let it hurt a little." You ever noticed about a drunk when they're intoxicated? Not only do they just sort of love everybody, and man, everything is joyful and happy, and they love to just give everything they got away. And then I've noticed some love to fight. You know, some folks is all right till they got a little something in them. They got to want to fight everything. That's about halfway I am, Miss Fox. I get filled with Spirit. I get to want to pull guns, just shoot everything. And cry the rest of the time. And so it's amazing, while he gives us this analogy, he's comparing it to the Spirit and the Spirit of alcohol. You know, it's amazing. Y'all ever seen a little bitty feller get to drinking? And Brother Troy, he became bulletproof. Hey, Brother Tim, but that's the way I am when I'm a preaching buddy. I'll charge hell with a water gun.
Amen.
And I get home, I tell my wife, I say, "Oh, honey, I'm such a failure. I just wish I hadn't done all that this morning." Boy, I get filled with the Holy Ghost, honey. I get bulletproof. Amen. Hell, I mean, you go bear hunting with a switch. Somebody shout amen right there tonight.
Amen, preacher.
Boy, we ought to be filled with the Spirit of God. You know, notice this. You get a feller good and drunk and you can cut the lights off, it don't matter. He's going to keep a hanging around. Boy, that's the way we ought to be tonight. Thank God when we say amen, you don't just run, knock the door down, get into your car. I wish some of y'all was thrilled as these little. Y'all just watch these little ones. They preach one of the best stories you'll ever hear. Their little giving, Lord, they just stampede to that bucket every Sunday morning. Choir, they just run over you to get in the choir to sing. Praise God, we could take some good preaching from them young'uns. And so he says this. He says, not only is there a command, but there's a great comparison. He says, like wine, the Spirit determines, or it directs and dominates. Now watch this. The Spirit ought to dominate our action. Number two, the Spirit ought to determine our associations. You ever watch this? Birds of a feather flock together. A drunken man feels at home with drunk people. 1 Corinthians 10 and 21. I can tell you why I didn't want to go on no fishing trip with a church group. They wasn't doing what I like to do. Somebody say amen right there. I can tell you why I didn't want to go rafting with a church group. Because they didn't know how to have a good time, I didn't think. Don't shut me down now. I'll get the preaching man again. Like wine, the Spirit dominates our actions. But like wine, the Spirit directs our ambitions. And like wine, the Spirit determines our associations. 1 Corinthians 10 and 21, watch your Bible. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table. I've heard people say this about this church, and they paid this church one of the greatest, I think, honors that anything could be said. I can't go down there and live like the devil. Well, you know what? When we come to this church, we ought to be challenged about how we're living. And what we're doing and where we're going. And so watch this. When we're filled with the Spirit, not only does it direct our ambitions, not only does it dominate our actions, but it determines our associations. Now, I want to say something right there before I move on and close this message. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils, and you cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Mom and daddies, watch these young'uns, because they're going to do what the crowds are doing most of the time. And you folks have just got saved. You know what you're going to have to do? If you'll live this book, you're going to lose that old crowd of friends. You're going to win some of them, but you're going to get you a pile of good ones. Because I found out after I get saved, they weren't interested in me. They was interested in what they could get out of me. Watch who you run with, because you'll be doing what they're doing. Ladies, watch who you're running with. You think a little social drink don't matter? Sure it matters. You go in Longhorn and get you a little social drink. First of all, I hope 9 members walked right in by your table. But number 2, them folks that you've been inviting to church saying, you know, I wish you'd come to church. They say, well, man, you must be Catholic or something. The Budweiser boys told me one of the best stops they had was the Catholic Church. Praise God. I appreciate an old man over here in Ramber another night. He's going to do a wedding. So they called him into the wedding. And they found out it's going to be alcohol that reception. You know what he done? He turned around and said, tell you what y'all do, go get you another preacher. I ain't a marrying you. Boy, I respect him for that. I mean, house full done sitting there. He done found out there's something beside punch out back. But he just walked right on off. Said, okay, y'all can have it. Glory to God. We need some more men with them kind of guts. And then you wonder, is out on our phone tonight, they say, we want to know, will you rent the church to us April so-and-so to have a wedding? No, we won't. It ain't for hire. And we ain't for sale. Because your preacher get in jail. The world come down here and use your church. They go out yonder and throw a shindig and I'm going to have a fit. And so the best thing we can do is just keep it like we got it for membership only. And you know what? If this place ain't good enough, you go to church here, it ain't good enough for them to get married here. Amen. Right? Just keep us saying, amen. You're doing all right. Some of you ain't got it yet. You need to get in the flow and shake your head. And the preaching will go a lot quicker tonight. Little worldlings tear your building down. Brother Buddy does good enough to keep it up after these little pigs we got. Say amen right there, Brother Buddy. Amen. Lord goodness. Some of y'all ain't got me food. You bring all them snacks. You say it's for your young'uns. Lord God. I wish you'd bring something worth passing around sometime. Nobody eats gummy worms. And me and Brother David ain't got like that, but eating gummy worms. Praise God, bring something to help you. The commands of the spirit life and the comparison of the spirit life. Now I want to leave this with us on the consequences of the spirit life. Have you noticed that in Ephesians 5 and verse number 5, he inserted this before he dealt with something that has to do with where a lot of us are living tonight. And that's the home. He says before he ever mentioned anything about the home, he said you need to be spirit-filled. Did you know a spirit-filled life would correct every home that ain't right tonight? And you say, well, preacher, it takes two. It sure does, but I can tell you this. One spirit-filled life would be better than none. Now, there's the commands of the spirit-filled life, the comparison of the spirit-filled life. But lastly, there are the consequences. First of all, it's the consequences of the heart world. Before the Holy Ghost can perform His work through us, He must perform His work in us. A heart filled with the Spirit will overflow with the Spirit, with praise and worship and prayer, exhorting and testimonies. Lord, tonight, how I wish we could all get Spirit-filled. The heart world. And I want to say tonight, in closing, if you're not saved, you ought to get saved. Because you're missing the most wonderful time that a person could ever have is to be saved tonight. Folks, just think about the opportunity. Brother Diz, think about the opportunities, brother, that we got being saved tonight. Brother Troy, think about the opportunities we've got of being saved in this day and hour that we live. And so there are consequences to the heart world. And then in chapter 5, verse 21, there are consequences to the home world. Look what he says. He says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. There's a two-way street there, folks. Yes, sir, I know the Bible says that the husband is the head of the home. He's the head of the wife. But you know something? This verse is still there, fellas and ladies. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. There has to be agreement. A lot of you are just bucking the system. And you're not going to get any place till you do it God's way. That's why our country's in a mess tonight. We're doing it Washington's way and the world's way, but God's got the way this evening. And He says before you can ever have the home that you need to have, you need to be Spirit-filled. Now watch. Consequences of the heart world, but the home world. In 5:21, submitting yourselves one another in the fear of God. Now He talks about the wives, and He deals with them first. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, not for His sake, but for the Lord's sake. And look, it ain't no sense, and nobody's sending me a calendar in the mailbox this week. I know it's 2:09 and fixing to be 2:10, but that don't change nothing. You know, we holler, women rights, women rights. I'm going to say something tonight that may shock you. I hate y'all got put on our level. I hate you've been put to our level. Used two men had opened doors for you. Used two men had called you ladies. But now the lib movement, and let me tell you something, I'm not a chauvinist. Despite what you think. But I hate you got brought to the man's level. Because God has put the wife in a special category of people. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. Even as Christ is the head of the church and He is the Savior of the body. I believe that the husband's going to give an account judgment day for his home. Because you'll notice in Ephesians 6 verse 4, he deals with children and he says, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Daddy, it's your responsibility. And let me tell you ladies something. There are single parents, single ladies raising young'uns. Keep them at the house of God. Keep them at the house of God. I can give you no better advice than to keep God first and foremost, live a godly life, and bring them young'uns up in the house of the Lord. Our home life. Now watch this. He said, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And he said, the husband's the head of the wife, it is Christ the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ. Let me tell you what. what he says goes. Amen. If I ever start leading this church out of this book, tell you what y'all do. Y'all tar and feather me and get rid of me and follow Christ. Amen. 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 Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands. Watch this. In everything. I wonder how many of you say some little snooty remarks holding things over his head. In everything. Everything. Now, I can tell you what, my wife ain't perfect. But we'll be married 30 years. The Lord Terry has come and let us live this December the 8th. And I'm going to tell you something. We've had our ups and our downs. But I'm going to tell you, most of the problems we've had, you're looking at him. My wife is in subjection to her husband. Some of you sit there laughing. Yeah, I know, preacher. Well, she is. And you know something? My wife don't nag. My wife makes a home wonderful for me to come home to. I've got no reason to go run with the boys. She gives me no reason to go drinking and carousing. She has my home, everything I need there. Praise God, some of y'all looking around like... Now see, Bowden didn't give all y'all that in high school. Well, just keep saying well, it's a deep place. And you know something, ladies, I don't think you're to be a slave neither. If he's not respecting you, why ain't he? Now watch this. Husband, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for. I know some boys, their deer stands are a lot nicer than their wife's clothes. Praise God, somebody got an amen in. We're so into ourselves. Me, all about me. Me, all about me. I'm Tarzan. Me. I mean, the world don't get along without me. Spirit-filled life will make you think about somebody else. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Let me ask you something. What did he do for us? Gave himself for it. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the Word. That he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. What's this? Verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cheereth it, even as the Lord the church. Sir, if you had hit your wife, you're a coward. You're a little old spineless polecat. You're a coward. Anybody whoop a woman, what can you do with a preacher? That's right. Shake your head. Run under the pew. You young girls marry a boy and he beats on you, call your preacher. She's to be respected and put in a special place. Little spineless men, they feel real macho when they whoop up on a little old woman. Lord God. Look what he says. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Sir, do you own the remote?
Go ahead.
What about she might want to watch? I bet she gets tired of eating the same old food that you take her all the time because that's the only place you like to eat. Praise God. Somebody said amen. Lord, I don't mean to split the church. I mean to help the church. Sometimes I say, huh, where you want to go eat? Oh, it don't matter. I know where she wants to go, but I don't want to go. The Olive Garden, all that garlic. Boy, if we'd just be filled with the Spirit. Salt men, otherwise their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it even as the Lord of the church. For we're members of his body, the flesh and his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Let me tell you, family, something tonight. Miss Cheryl, I want you to come, if you would, for me. He said, this is a great mystery. You know, I was a mama's boy. Man, I was. I mean, I was the baby. I come along 6 years later. My mama rocked me to my feet drug the floor. And I'm proud of every rocking I got. And if you asked her now, she'd tell you, I'm her baby. But you know, in 1979, I met a lady that changed everything about me. He said, this is a great mystery. Right now, some of you young'uns, I mean, every time you step, you're stepping on them. But let me tell you, it's going to come a day, and they're going to leave out. And so, you know something, when they leave out, you better have something there. And you better quit making your marriage work on account of your kids. You better love one another. I was thinking, Brother Dennis, I was thinking last night, boy, I better be happy. That's just me and her now. Mom and Daddy's wasn't long ago. We put these two girls in a car. We was talking about it yesterday. You know where they went? Wherever we took them. In a car seat. We'd slam them in a van. Off we'd go preaching. Boy, some of the best years of our life. Then had to walk them down the aisle and give them to old boys. Amen. Brother Dennis, we'd built a house like a hotel at Salon. It had an intercom system. We never did have enough room while they was there. But now, all I need, Christian, is a big room. I better love my wife. And Brother Joe, all them years my youngest is at home, I better been doing something to be building my marriage when they leave. It's nothing like having the right kind of home. And you say, preacher, I ain't got that. You know what? You can get started. And the best way I know today to get started is lay on this altar and say, God, give me more of your Spirit. God, empty that in me that's taking up room and you fill that place. Some of you, let me tell you about being filled with the Spirit of God. He's wanting some things in your life and you won't give it to Him. But when you give it to Him, He'll fill it with the Spirit of God and you'll have more joy. You'll be used more than you've ever been used. But you got to be filled with the Spirit. Your mouth gets you unfilled real quick. Your actions get you filled. That's why we must stay clean and focused and pray every morning of our life, God, forgive me of what I've done. God, fill me with your Spirit and keep me full of the Spirit. Our church needs to be filled with the Spirit. Our homes need to be filled with the Spirit. I can't preach enough about it. Ain't no way I got enough time to preach this sermon out. All I can tell you this tonight, the Spirit of God can help you in your heart and in your home. I promise you that tonight. Whatever you need, you come.